It is now time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your questions. Our subject for this program is Many Mansions. The hope for the future of the human family is as bright as the assurances of God's Word. Ed, may I read one of the most popular texts in the Bible, after which I have some questions to ask you. The text is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. Jesus' words, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Whenever I hear this text read, I think of eternity, and where I will be in eternity. Also, I have friends who are unbelievers. Where will they be? But first, this program is heard internationally and is brought to you by the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine, in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. And now, Ed, everyone is interested in what lies beyond the grave. Life is so short. Please explain the text that I read from Jesus' own words.
Russell, these words form a part of Jesus' sermon to his disciples when they were gathered in the upper room to partake of the Passover supper for the last time before he was crucified. They were spoken, therefore, within the shadow of the cross, and in view of this, reveal the Master's own firm faith in the promises of his Heavenly Father to raise him from the dead.
Ed, what are the many mansions Jesus mentioned as being in his Father's house? How could mansions be in a house?
I don't think we should try to understand these expressions too literally, Russell. The Heavenly Father's house, I would think, might well be his domain, which, of course, is the entire universe.
And the mansions, what are they?
Well, I think the most reasonable view of this is that the many mansions are the many spheres of existence or planes of life among God's intelligent creatures. The human plane of life is the only one of which we have detailed knowledge, but the Bible indicates that above the human and invisible to us, there are higher planes of life, that is, other mansions.
Does the Bible say anything about these other planes of life?
Yes, it does. One place is in the 8th Psalm. In this psalm, the prophet David speaks of man being created a little lower than the angels. And then the apostle Paul informs us that Jesus was highly exalted above angels and principalities and powers and above every name that is named.
So then, man is not the only intelligent creation of God, it seems. And that, Ed, raises another question in my mind. Jesus made this promise to his disciples. Is there any way of knowing which one of the many mansions or planes of existence his disciples will enjoy after they die?
Russell, none of them. Jesus did not promise any one of these mansions to his disciples. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions," and then added, "If I go, I go to prepare a place for you."
Ed, you're right, absolutely right. I notice it right here. And it just occurred to me that the Apostle John wrote that we, that is his disciples, were to be like Jesus and will then see him as he is. I notice also Jesus says that his people were not to be joined with him in this divine mansion until he returned.
And that's true and very important to keep in mind. Jesus said, "If I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And we should also notice, Russell, that Jesus did not make this promise to the whole family of man, but only to his faithful followers. In all, these are, as he described them, a little flock.
What about the rest of mankind? Where and how do they come into the divine plan of salvation?
Russell, I think the charts or diagram in the little book, God's Plan, which I gave you a bit ago, will help us find the answer to that question.
I have a copy right here.
Fine. The chart on page 18 illustrates the different planes of life we have been talking about, also the various ages or time periods during which God's plan progresses to completion.
I notice the age following the Jewish age is styled the Gospel Age.
Well, that title suggests that the work of God during the Gospel Age is accomplished by the preaching of the Gospel. The Gospel Age began with the first advent of Christ and ends with the selection of his church, at which time the Millennial Age begins. The Millennial is the thousand-year kingdom age, the age during which Christ and the church will reign to fulfill God's promises to bless all the families of the earth. To appreciate the marvelous harmony of the Bible, it is essential to keep these time divisions clearly in mind.
Yes, I can see why that would be very necessary. And I notice that directly underneath the illustrations of the various worlds and ages, there are a number of horizontal lines on this chart that I'm looking at. What do they represent?
Well, those lines, Russell, are designed to represent the various planes of life we've been talking about. The long line running the entire length of the chart illustrates the human plane of existence. The small pyramid at the left represents Adam, created in the image of God to live on the human plane.
Could we call that an earthly mansion?
I think so. Our earthly mansion is in bad state of repair right now, but the Millennial Age has been set apart to restore humanity to its original perfection. Then the entire race will be restored to human perfection. Now that's illustrated by the large pyramid at the right of the diagram.
And I suppose the incomplete pyramid below the plane of perfect human life illustrates the human race during the reign of sin and death. Is that it?
Yes, that's right. So you see, the diagram pictures the Bible teaching of paradise lost and paradise restored. This work of restoration was made possible, of course, by the death of Jesus as man's redeemer.
And I notice additional horizontal lines on the chart.
Well, they illustrate the call and development of those who will make up God's new creation, beginning with Jesus.
In other words, Christians in this gospel age, as it is termed, become part of a new creation, whereas God's plan for the rest of mankind is to restore them to life on the earth. Is that when Jesus will say to them, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world"?
Yes, and that will be at the close of the Millennial Age, which the Apostle Peter describes as times of restitution of all things, and he added, that has been promised by the mouth of God's holy prophets.
That, of course, makes it a very definite part of God's plan. And you know, Ed, to realize that there is both a heavenly reward for his church and an earthly salvation promised in the Bible for all the obedient of the Millennial Age does open up a new and wonderful meaning to God's promises. Many have wondered, for example, about the promise that the desert should rejoice and blossom as the rose. It just didn't seem reasonable to me to think that there were deserts in heaven, But now I see, as illustrated on the chart, that these are promises which will be fulfilled when the earthly mansion is restored to perfection.
And with the work of restoration being administered by the new creation, Christ and His church, occupying the place prepared by Him. So, Russell, the answer to the question you ask at the beginning as to where one will spend eternity would be either in the spiritual realm with Jesus or in the restored earthly paradise. There are various determining factors in this, and these are set forth very clearly in the little book, God's Plan. Will you tell our listeners more about the plan book and how they may get a copy free?
I'll be very glad to, Ed. Friends, I realize how helpful those charts really are in understanding the plan of God. And now you may have one of these little books free simply by asking for it. Do you know what is the end of the world? What is the purpose of Christ's second coming? Is there hope for the unsaved dead? Do you know that a world came to an end at the time of the flood? These are but a few of the questions you will find answered in the plan book, and its charts help to make the answers understandable. So send now for the plan book. Address your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. May I repeat the address? Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Simply ask for the plan book. It will be sent to you free through the mail without obligation.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN. To receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.